The text is the gospel reading from St. John. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Here ends our text. There used to be a TV show called Tales from the Crypt. It had eerie, scary stories, and you would expect that based on the title. Crypts are creepy places. Vineyards aren't. Yet I know two tales from the vineyard that should raise the hair on the back of your neck. The first tale of horror is this. You don't have to bear fruit as a Christian. You can live like your neighbor who doesn't know Christ. You can remain in the vineyard devoid of grapes. Your light doesn't have to shine, and you can be salt that doesn't season. Christ says otherwise. Isaiah 5 is where the Lord introduces this figure of his people as a vineyard, saying, he planted a vineyard on a very fertile hill, and he looked for it to yield grapes. In Luke chapter 13, the Lord pictures himself as the owner of a vineyard with a fig tree planted in it. He came seeking fruit on it, says the parable. In Matthew 25, when Jesus pictures the last judgment without a parable, without figures, he highlights the works of the saved and the lack of works by the damned. And again, without figures, plain as day, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. It is a horrible, wretched, false tale from the vineyard to say Christians don't have to bear fruit. A curse on such a tale. Don't you remember a curse is exactly what the Lord promised on the real fig tree that had no fruit? The Lord pronounces judgment on unfruitful Christians. In Isaiah 5, he says, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. It shall be devoured, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. In Luke 13, what is the Lord's judgment on the unfruitful fig? Cut it down. Why should it reuse up the ground? And in the last judgment, what happens to the unfruitful? Depart from me into the eternal fire. Unfruitful Christians are pulled up by the hair, tossed into the fire, and they are burned. Why this should shock you is beyond me, since this is what we all do with the unfruitful plants in our gardens. We do the same with the branches of a larger plant when they cease to bear fruit or leaves. Why? Because unfruitful branches, they're dead ones. They're not really branches at all, are they? They don't function as branches. They don't carry moisture, nutrients, or life. Unfruitful branches have more in common with table legs than they do trees. We saw them off for the good of the tree. Unfruitful Christians are dead Christians, and there is no such thing as a dead Christian. Before we leave this ghastly tale that surely leads many to hell, let's deal with an equally grisly subplot. A branch, a person can bear enough fruit. You do your share, take your turn, serve for a while. That is a disfigured Christianity. In fact, it's not Christian at all. My turn, my share, my part, that's the talk of clubs. That's the talk of voluntary groups. That's the talk of civic duty. That's not the talk of the vineyard. Fruitful plants in the vineyard, they don't get a year or two off. No, they're cut off. once they become unfruitful. Besides, how can anyone stand before the crucified Christ who gave his soul, his life, his all to save them and say, I've done enough. I've taken my turn. I've done my part. What a horrible, terrible, ugly picture. And yet, how many of you are sitting there thinking just that? Well, that's the first tale from the vineyard. We don't have to bear fruit as a Christian. The second is just as gruesome, just as fearsome, just as troublesome. It is this: bearing fruit makes you a Christian. That is, doing good works can deliver you from a guilty conscience. Doing good works can rescue you from that fear of death. Doing good works can give you a peaceful heart. Doing good works can assure you you're going to heaven. This is not only a ghastly tale, it's a downright lie. No matter how many good things you do, there will never come a time that your guilty conscience can say, oh, I've done enough to make up for my sins. No matter how much you do for others, for church, for Christ, you will never do enough to say, I don't have to be afraid of death. The peace you crave, the certainty of going to heaven, is not found in your doing, sweating, bleeding, or pleading. Bearing fruit, no matter how much or how lush, does not, cannot make you a Christian. Fruit marks Christians. That's what Jesus says. Bearing much fruit shows you to be his disciple. Have you ever noticed that about vines? They all look alike in the winter months. A wild grapevine, it looks no different than a poison ivy vine. A vine is a vine is a vine until it produces the fruit of leaves and berries. Then there's no doubt what is what. Only a fool looks for grapes on a poison ivy vine. Likewise, only a fool thinks you can make a branch of poison ivy into a grapevine by hanging grapes on it. So, the good works, taking care of family, helping your neighbors, supporting your government, living a sexually pure and decent life, those sort of works that hang on your Muslim friend, your unchristian co-worker, or your atheist boss, they don't make him or her a branch of the vine Christ. You only get fruit that counts before God from branches attached to the vine Christ. There are vines in the woods that produce berries and grape-like clusters, but they aren't grapes. Real grapes only come from real branches of a real grapevine. It's actually too horrible of a tale to keep thinking about. It's a hideous mutilation of Christianity to say bearing fruit makes you a Christian. No, only the Lord Jesus Christ can make a Christian, and therefore only he can give you peace of heart. Only Christ can give you certainty of salvation. Only Christ can give you freedom from your guilt. Only Christ can rescue you from the fear of death. Only a grapevine can produce grape branches. Only the Christ can produce Christians. Pay close attention to how the text starts. Jesus does not tell the disciples to make themselves branches. He doesn't even, as many of you think, tell them they need pruning so they can bear more fruit. You miss that because of the insert's poor translation. It says this: every branch that does bear fruit, the Father prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. The words prunes and clean, they are the verb and the noun form of the same Greek word. So you can translate, and you should, the Father prunes every branch. You are already pruned because of the word I spoke to you. Jesus is not warning them that they're about to be pruned. No, he's assuring them that they've already been pruned. All systems are go for them to be fruitful. Now, nobody prunes a branch not attached to a vine. Having been pruned indicates you're connected to the vine. And that's what counts, because apart from that vine, you can do nothing. But joined to the vine, you can do all things. true vine. There has to be a healthy vine before there can be any branches. So, don't focus on you being a Christian. You focus on there being a Christ. Adam and Eve, though planted by God in the good soil of the Garden of Eden, they quickly became wild vines producing grapes of wrath. Rather than pull them up right then and there, God the Son was sent as a vine into the soil that had now become poor and weed infested. But he was fruitful. Christ kept all of God's laws perfectly, and he grew grapes of love, joy, peace, and hope in bunches. Yet perfect fruit was not enough to appease the wrath of the holy God. Those rebellious vines had to be punished. So God took his Son, the holy vine, and crushed him in the winepress in Gethsemane and hung him to wither and die under his hot wrath on Calvary. The blood that flowed from the crushed Christ covered our sins, appeasing God's wrath. There's the answer to that guilty conscience that chases you around at night. There's the answer to that heart of yours that can only find panic and not peace. There's what will melt that icy fear of death you know, and there's what's going to fill in that hole of doubt you have about being saved. You cannot do enough good to make up for your sins, let alone pay for them. You cannot suffer enough, even in all eternity, to pay for your sins. It takes a perfect man to take all your payments on himself, and it takes the holy God to make those payments for you. It takes the God who is man, Jesus. The holy vine Jesus paid for our sins on Good Friday, and he was planted in the ground as a dead, lifeless vine. But he burst forth on Easter, alive and growing, and he grew all the way to heaven itself. But how does one become joined to that vine? We are branches of a wild vine. He is holy. Romans pictures a grafting process. We are wild branches grafted unto the holy vine. How? Well, you've been baptized into him. His word of promise that your many sins are forgiven has reached out and grabbed you to himself. He has bodied and bloodied you to himself in the Holy Communion. Get it? It's the actions of Christ the vine, not your actions, that have joined you to him. This is important because in the second tale of terror, there is a sub-error too. Just hold on to the vine and you'll be all right. Well, how can that be an error? Doesn't Jesus say, remain in the vine? Yes. But does he say that is done by holding on as tight as you can? No. Why? Because all of you with any experience in Christ know that if salvation depends on me holding on to him, I am damned. I let go in fear. I let go in rebellion. I let go in despair. But, says St. Paul, Christ never lets go. Even if we are faithless, he remains faithful. That's powerful gospel. But that's the truth of even the ordinary branch-vine relationship. Vines hold onto branches, not the other way around. So Christ, the vine of vines, keeps us living, active, fruitful, and pruned by the word he speaks to us. And this word comes not just into our ears, but onto our bodies in baptism and into our bodies through the body and blood of Christ in communion. Now let's send those tales of the vineyard back to the hellish crypt they crept out of. The word of God that courses through the vine is living and active. He makes Christians. He makes branches. He creates faith, new life, a quiet heart, and guiltless conscience, and Christ creates fruit. The branch is the location where the fruit the vine makes is found. But the branch is not the source. The vine is. The fruit properly belongs to the vine, not to the branch. And because it does, the Father is very pleased with it. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.